The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
We're going to start today with a song. And no, don't worry, I won't be singing it. Just some random young woman on TikTok.
My country, 'tis of the land of inequity, of thee I sing. Land where my mothers cried, fought, bled, and sacrificed for rights which we are now denied. Let freedom ring. Land of dystopia, religious myopia, I mourn for thee. Behind us, the oaken door, six robed dinosaurs conspire to wage a holy war over our bodies. But the true bell of liberty, she does not mute easily, long may she ring. Her echoes will amplify, marching till morning light, all genders side by side, till freedom rings.
Wow. That was, I don't even know her name. That was a young woman on TikTok. I found it because a recording artist who I know, Jonathan Brooke, retweeted it. First of all, her voice is lovely. And second of all, the words are a lot more relatable than the original. Good job. I wish I knew who it was, but I didn't see her name anywhere on the video. But there you go. And that's kind of why I wasn't here yesterday. So I watch television. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I was a child raised on television. Child in the 60s. So it's there. It's just sort of an ever-present thing. And yesterday, or actually more accurately, I guess Tuesday evening, we started hearing stories about the victims from Monday, from Highland Park, Illinois, victims of this thing, because he's certainly not human, who opened fire on families who were there out to do the most American thing ever and watch a 4th of July parade. And most of the families who were there had a kid or a relative in the parade, because this town, it was a tradition. I learned about two families there. One is, we heard the story about this little boy, a little two-year-old toddler named Aiden, who first one report said he was found wandering around after the shooting, lost. Another report, though, said that a bystander pulled him out from under his father's body, because his father, as we heard other parents say, protected his child. He encased him in his body, and the father and the mother both took bullets, and the bullets from an AR-15 style gun, they tear your body apart. They explode your body from the inside. That's why when I hear these idiots say that they use it for hunting, we know that's bullshit, because there's nothing left of the animal once you shoot it with one of these guns. They are meant as killing machines and dismembering machines. They tear bodies apart, so they're not recognizable. They are not put back togetherable, if you know what I mean. So this little boy, his life was saved by his father, and it cost his father his life, and his mother died too. So this little two-year-old boy is now an orphan. There's a GoFundMe page set up for him, and there's probably close to $3 million in it now. And I guess that's, you know, some consolation prize. But this little boy is not going to be able to grow up with the father who gave his life protecting him. Then I heard an interview with a young woman who was at the parade with her mother, her sister, other family members. Frankly, I don't know the whole story because I fixated on one detail. She and her mother were running together once the shooting started. They held hands and they started running. Well, one of the bullets hit the mother. And the girl looked at the mother and knew immediately she was dead because, again, these bullets explode your head. There's nothing left. The body's not salvageable if you've been hit straight on from one of these guns, one of these weapons of war. And she looked down, she saw her mother was dead, and she said, "Mom, I know you know I got to keep running. I know you'd understand." And she kept running. And then later she said, "I had my mother for 23 years or whatever it was, however old this young woman was. And I couldn't help but think about my daughter, who's 23. And I'd hoped that she'd have the sense of mind to keep running. But the fact that we have to think in those terms is just heartbreaking. Now, Allison happens to have Wednesdays off. And she had some mail delivered here. So she said she was going to come over. And I said, "You know what? Let's hang out. I'll take the day off." Because nothing at that moment was more important to me than spending a day with my daughter. Hearing these stories of these families who have been torn apart, just heartbreaking. And it shouldn't be this way. But it's because these Republicans, I mean, it sounds like a dirty word. I hate having to say it, but let's be honest, shall we? I mean, that's what I trade in here is honesty. It's mostly Republicans who cherish the idea of a gun over a human life. And I just don't get it. They say it's a constitutional right. Well, no, it isn't really, because the Constitution clearly states a well-regulated militia being necessary to preserve a free state. They conveniently obliterate the first half of the amendment, and they just focus on the words that meet their needs, that back up their bullshit way of thinking. It's insane. And now we have these six crazy people on the Supreme Court. You know, I've got a bunch of little video clips I want to play for you. But this one, you know me well enough to know how I think. Well, politics girl doesn't know me, but she certainly knows how I think. Listen to this. I think.
So the Republican talking points were leaked after the Uvalde shooting. They said, "Stay cool, run out the clock, ignore guns, talk inflation. Don't worry, this moment will be over soon." First of all, fuck you. This moment will never be over for the families of the victims or the people who experienced the trauma of mass shootings. You ever heard of a tipping point? This is it. You're not running out the clock this time. We're not stopping and it's not going away. No one else in the civilized, industrialized world has to live like this. Over the last 2 decades, more school-aged children have died from guns in America than on-duty police officers and active-duty military combined. You can't do your job as a judge, as a doctor, as a fast food worker. You can't break up with your boyfriend or not get along with some guy in your office. You can't be a child in class or fight for a parking spot or make a mistake in traffic. You can't go to a concert or visit a hospital or check out a strawberry festival. You can't do anything in America anymore without fear of gun violence, because gun violence is what defines us. So stay as cool as you want, but this moment will not be over soon. We no longer care about your reasoning or excuses. Your thoughts and prayers are hollow and useless. You're bought and paid for, and we don't care if you think it's the time. It's exactly the time. It's been the time for 20 years. There's no other time. The more we wait, the more people die. And we'll no longer sit by while you whitewash and reason and justify the slaughter of American citizens, blaming everything but the policy you created for the carnage. The Democrats pass policy after policy to save lives, and Republicans block those policies. The party of life is the one protecting the instruments of death. We have an election in November, and it's not about inflation. Inflation is a worldwide problem. Guns are an American problem. Voting against the Democrats won't fix inflation, but voting against the Republicans will fix gun violence. There are solutions, yep. And one party wants to find them, and one party wants to run out the clock.
Hello.
So choose wisely, because it's the guns.
It's the guns. It's the guns. What a concept. Who's been saying that all along? If it were up to me, I'd take away the fucking guns. Politics girl. She's brilliant. She thinks just like I do. David, yes, you wanted to add something.
That was incredible. What she had to say.
Yep.
I read something that really stayed with me, and that was that as these people were running for their lives, the ones who were directing them were the kids, because the kids go through all these shooter drills
right.
in their schools.
Oh my
but
God.
Just imagine what that does to their psyche. Imagine what has happened, how these children, even the ones that survived, that never saw a bullet hit anyone. Imagine how that scarred them,
yep.
how they have been scarred already psychologically. Not the kids from Illinois even, kids from all around
all
this
over.
Country who have been scarred by having to think someone could walk in this classroom right now and blow me the fuck away.
Yep. You know, when we were little, when you were little, you probably did the drills, the nuclear bomb drills under the desk, right? Because you're older than I am.
I can remember playing kickball, watching tanks roll down Federal Highway
wow.
going to Key West during the Cuban
Missile
crisis.
Right.
So you can bet your ass I was taught how to hide under my desk.
Right. And so John Carnahan, whoever the fuck you are, writes in the chat room, Nicole, you are fine supporting U.S. military and war. John, I don't know who you are, but you obviously don't know anything about me. So get off of my channel. Whoever you are, you cretin. All right, he's gone. Well, when I was a kid, because I'm younger than my husband, we had fire drills. We had fire drills. And it was after, you know, the nuclear weapon hide under your desk, which I don't know what that was going to do. And it was before the active shooter drills. We had fire drills. That's what we, you know, had to worry about. Amazing. Just amazing. But the gun thing, you know, David yesterday, he does our grocery shopping. He went out to Costco and he said, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm a little nervous about going to Costco. Now we're afraid to go anywhere, and rightly so. And by the way, you know, I'm in Coral Springs, Florida, Parkland's next door, and the shooter and we talked about this last night when Allison was here, that she always has now a Valentine's Day for her is always the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting. For so many kids in this area, Valentine's Day is not a day for love. It's a day when a massacre took place in Parkland. And for these kids, for the people in Highland Park, Illinois, 4th of July won't be about fireworks. It'll be about a crazed gunman opening fire on their sleepy little hometown parade. By the way, the shooter in Parkland pleaded guilty. So you think, oh, great, that spared everyone from a trial. Except there is now a trial that just started after 6 weeks of jury selection, and he pled guilty. So it's not about that. It's the sentencing phase. This trial is exclusively to determine whether or not this cretin gets the death penalty or spends the rest of his life in prison. And they're saying this trial will go on for 6 months. So it's terrorizing all of South Florida yet again, because every day there are more revelations in the paper. Yesterday it was about his demented online ramblings. Something that should have precluded him from being able to get a gun in the first place. Just amazing. So, you know, for the longest time, every time there was one of these mass shootings, I'd start my next show with a song called If It Were Up to Me by a singer-songwriter named Cheryl Wheeler. I've been playing that song on the radio since it was released, I believe, in 1996, around the time of Columbine. Maybe it was the year after. Well, there's a comedian who I had never heard of before. His name is Steve Hofstetter. And apparently Steve Hofstetter does a comedy bit about guns. And he posted this the other day on social media and said, another mass shooting.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, hold on. What did I do there? I had a different video queued up and I hit the table and I hit the wrong video. Anyway, so yesterday he posts on social media. Another mass shooting. I guess I need to post this video again. So I'm going to play for you what he posted, because I had never heard of him before. But he's worth listening to. Steve Hofstetter, everyone.
Now for the gun owners in the crowd, and this is Indiana, so away we go. For the gun owners in the crowd, I have a point to make. No one's coming for your guns. You sound dumb when you speak like that.
Yes, you do.
They're taking our guns.
No, they're not.
No. No one's taking your... We want you to register your guns like you register anything potentially dangerous.
Oh.
You register your car with no issue. When you're at the DMV, you're like, they're taking our cars. What did you just say? Yeah, first we get driver's licenses, and next thing you know, we're walking everywhere. It's a slippery slope. No, sometimes it's flat land, and I'm sure that there are gun owners in this crowd right now who are getting uncomfortable. You're getting upset about this material, but every single gun owner here knows someone who owns a gun that you wish didn't. Every last one of you has been to the firing range and been like, Brad's here, we're all gonna fucking die. Every single one of you. That's who I don't want to have a gun.
Yeah.
Now you might say, well, it doesn't matter what you want because of the amendment. Second Amendment protects them as a right and not a privilege.
No.
And I'll give you that. I'll give you the Second Amendment. Defend the Second Amendment with all of your heart. If you also defend every other amendment or know what they say. Amendment people are hilarious. Freedom of speech, right to bear arms. I'm tired. Like what? About the rest.
Yeah.
There are so many. Like the Seventh Amendment. No one ever cares about the Seventh Amendment. Why doesn't anyone ever defend the Seventh Amendment? None of you even know what it says. Some of you are trying to think of it right now. You're like, is it plead the Fifth? No, that's the Fifth Amendment. The Seventh. The Seventh Amendment says that every civil matter involving more than $20 can go to full jury trial.
Wow.
Or maybe it doesn't. You don't fucking know. My point is, either amendments are sacred or they're not.
Uh-huh.
It's as simple as that. And if you're someone who feels you need to own a gun because you want to protect yourself from your neighbor, okay, I support that. I do. I think that the Second Amendment is important. I think that a person who is educated and responsible and regulated...
Hello.
...should be allowed to own a gun. However, if you need a gun because you're afraid of the government... You don't know how tanks work.
Right. Hey, I'm Steve Hofstetter, and that was for my comedy special, Secret Optimist. You can watch the entire special for free on YouTube.
Okay.
If you want to see a live show, my calendar is at stevehofstetter.com. And if you want to call me dumb and let everyone know that you don't get jokes, feel free to waste your time in the comments. Thanks.
All right, I wanted to play that, the little message at the end, so you know who gave us that bit. Steve Hofstetter. I'm going to go check him out. Because he made a lot of sense there. You know who doesn't make sense? The idiots defending these gun laws. The fact that we don't have an assault weapons ban in this country is insane. And I'll still tell people everywhere, don't come here. People, you know, who would come to the United States from other countries around the world, don't. Your life is in danger in the United States of America anytime you step out of your hotel room. You walk out onto a public street, a public park, a 4th of July parade, a concert, a movie. It doesn't matter. Anywhere you go, you just might get shot. And with the blessings of the United States Supreme Court, formerly known as the Supremes. Because they said You don't need a license to carry a concealed weapon anywhere in this nation, even the states that had very strict gun laws. Nope. They say the Second Amendment, which says nothing of the sort, says that you have the right to carry a gun anywhere you go, not just in your house.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit. But this is where we are right now. We're fucked. We're basically really fucked. And, you know, the only thing right now that's giving me a little bit of confidence is a couple of things. One, the feeling that the Republicans, again, it's the Republicans. I can't couch it in any other way. I can't sugarcoat it. It's the Republicans who are lying, bending over backwards to support a guy who wanted to overthrow the results of a fair and free election, who lied, cheated, and stole his way into the White House and accused the other side of doing just what he did, projection, and is now wants to do it again. But his ill-gotten gains are being exposed. And once again, the January 6th commission, the select committee in the House, will have another hearing this coming Tuesday. Jamie Raskin's leading that one. I'm excited about that because he's good. And tomorrow, what's his name? The former White House counsel, is going to testify. Yeah, the lawyer, Donald Trump's lawyer, Pat Cipollone, whatever his name is, Cipollone. He's not going to testify in a live hearing, but, you know, at a deposition under oath that will be videotaped. And we've seen what they do with the videotapes. We'll see some of this testimony. So that helps a little bit that at least some of the country knows what's going on, and that former Trumpers, people who used to work in the White House, are coming forward. It was the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson, who hopefully emboldened some others to come forward. Because when you see treason, you see something, you say something. All right, there's somebody calling from 417 area code. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Nicole, Tamara here.
Hey, Tamara. So now what's your connection with this?
I was born in Highland Park.
Oh, wow.
I grew up there. I still have family there.
Okay.
If you're ever in Chicago area, stop in at Charlie Beinlich's for the best hamburger in town. Anyway, I was probably 5 years old when the Nazis marched down Skokie Highway.
Yep.
And we had a woman named Ethel. She was black from Chicago. And she babysat and lived with us while my mom worked next door at the bar.
Uh-huh.
And after World War II, and the Jews were slaughtered by the Germans, Highland Park brought in Jews by the hundreds mm-hmm. to live there.
Right.
Because no, Highland Park was founded by Germans.
Wow. Okay. I so do know it's a... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They felt that they owed the Jewish community a life, and they brought them in and housed them and taught them English and tried to make things right.
Good. Well, and Highland Park is now a very Jewish area. A lot of synagogues there.
Yes.
A number of the victims are Jewish. It's a Jewish community. And now we learned that
they
this shooter,
after World War II,
the killer went to a synagogue not in the not too distant past, apparently was scoping it out.
Well, I'll tell you, Highland Park worked very hard after World War II to bring in the Jewish community to make up for what Hitler did mm-hmm. during World War II, something that a lot of the country didn't do.
Right. That's true.
You know, right. They welcomed them in. And for this kid to go in and start shooting everybody. I'm horrified. Horrified.
Yeah, well, you should be horrified. And honestly, not just about the fact that it was a Jewish community. It doesn't matter, frankly. It doesn't matter. The fact that this kid had 16 knives and a machete taken from him, but his father didn't think there was any issue that he should be able to have a gun, so he went in and, co-signed for him to be able to get this weapon.
I don't believe the father one bit that he didn't know that his son threatened to kill everybody in the house.
No, of course he knew, because it was the family that he threatened. That's why the police came and took away all the weapons. So they have a red flag law in Illinois. It should have kicked in. It didn't. It didn't work because they didn't. I don't know. They didn't follow through the way they're supposed to. This kid never should have had access to a gun.
Well, Highland Park is a wonderful community. They're caring and giving, and I saw a family there. I mean, they have a street named Vinewood. I mean, my family was one of the founding. There were 10 families that moved there from Germany.
Wow.
Then they went from Pennsylvania to Lake Michigan and named it Highland Park. My great-great-great-grandfather founded Highland Park.
Wow.
I mean, that is my roots.
Well, I'm very sorry that this town that is, by all accounts, is idyllic and wonderful is now tainted.
It is.
Like Parkland, now will be known as a site of yet another mass murder in the United States and tainted the 4th of July. So a holiday where people would go and celebrate is now cause for fear. And you know, the idiots everywhere set off fireworks. Well, fireworks sound an awful lot like gunshots. So people can be terrorized.
I was totally shocked when it came up Highland Park. I just broke down and cried.
I'm sure you did. Tamara, I'm
because
so sorry.
This was one area that is so inclusive for everybody. Yeah, they might be wealthy, but they rose everybody up. They didn't leave anybody behind.
Uh-huh. All right, Tamara,
there's
I got to run.
There's very few poor in the city of Highland Park.
I know. It's a very nice community. So, whatever. It's horrible. It's a tragedy that it happened there. Frankly, it's a tragedy that it happened anywhere. Just the fact that it keeps happening. Tamara, I'm going to run. Thank you for the call. I'm so sorry that this happened to a place that you hold so dear. But this is what's going on around this country. Towns everywhere. Matthew McConaughey went and spoke at the White House because Uvalde, Texas was where he was born. You know, we all have these associations that are ruined because some asshole wants a gun. It's my right. Well, no, it isn't. We have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It seems that the extreme court is saying guns are more important than my right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, because I'm afraid to go out of the house now, as you should be. So a couple other things I want to get to before we get Howie on the line. Boris Johnson resigned, kind of, sort of. I didn't pull my sound here. Hold on one second. Let me get the sound up from today. Boris, I could have told you before he was, they don't get inaugurated as prime minister, before he was sworn in as prime minister, that he was not the guy. This is the guy who, got them through Brexit. Can you say we fucked up? No, but he can say, oops, hold on, this.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. It is clearly now the will of the Parliamentary Conservative Party that there should be a new leader of that party and therefore a new Prime Minister. And I've agreed with Sir Graham Brady, the chairman of our backbench MPs, that the process of choosing that new leader should begin now, and the timetable will be announced next week. And I've today appointed a cabinet to serve, as I will until a new leader is in place.
Wait, so he's appointed a cabinet, meaning he appointed the replacements for all the people who resigned because they wanted him to leave. They resigned in protest of him being prime minister. So he's replacing them, and I'll stay on until we find someone to replace me? I don't think that's up to him. And then he went on like this.
And to that new leader, I say, whoever he or she may be, I say, I will give you as much support as I can. And to you, the British public.
Yeah. You hear
I know that there will be many people who are relieved.
Yeah.
And perhaps quite a few who will also be disappointed.
Probably.
And I want you to know how sad I am to be giving up the best job in the world. But them's the breaks.
But them's the breaks. them's the breaks. I think I'm going to have to excerpt that little, but them's the breaks, because I have a feeling we're going to have need for that in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. Okay, well, it is that time of the day. So with no further ado, whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies? I need a triple today, please.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary
sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you doing? we were just listening to a little bit of Boris Johnson's resignation speech or whatever it was that he delivered today. Them's the breaks. it's not something I expect to hear out of a British prime minister's mouth.
Yeah, I used that quote in my post at 5 this morning because I for the same reason, it's like not expected.
Right. Them's the breaks? Really? He just said that? Wow.
Well, you know, he had to be a little philosophical about what happened to him.
I guess. So them's the breaks. It's just not a British expression that I'm, you know, kind of used to, but whatever. Boy, the world is a mess, Howie Klein. I don't even know where to start. I took yesterday off just because I needed it. My kid was here, so I thought, let me just hang out with her because, you know, seeing all these horrifically sad stories about the families who've been broken apart by these mass shootings, you know, and now with the extreme court, as I now refer to them, instead of they're no longer supreme, they're just extreme, taking our rights away, I don't recognize this place anymore.
Yeah, well, you're in the fulcrum of it. I mean, your state is certainly the tip of the spear.
And for good reason. I mean, and this is like a great metaphor for the country as a whole. This governor, this Ron DeSantis guy, is really scary. And I think people in Florida are starting to get it. Apparently, his ratings are dropping as people see what he's doing. But the rest of the country doesn't get it. They think he's like the next Trump.
Yeah, well, they're right.
Yeah, well, he's more dangerous than Trump, and I'm trying to get that message out because he's more dangerous because he knows what he's doing. He's educated, and he understands how government works, and he's still trying to, you know, manipulate it, but he's got more knowledge on his side, and knowledge can be dangerous in the wrong hands.
Yep, and he certainly does have the wrong hands. I mean, he's really awful, and it's amazing to me that all these Republicans who don't like Trump think he's the solution.
Right. Joe Rogan, who I've never listened to, I'll admit. But, you know, I played a clip the other day where he was saying, you know, I don't want Trump on my show, but I like DeSantis. He's done good in Florida. We could he'll be a great president. Or what? What? Yeah, so listen to this moron who used to tell people to eat bugs on Fear Factor. Yeah, that's all I can think of when I see him. He's the guy who told people to eat bugs and jump off of buildings.
Well,
yeah.
I've never been part of his thing. I don't know his stuff. I've never heard him. I read about him that, you know, some old negative stuff.
Yep.
But that's, I can't say I know anything really about him.
Yeah. He used to, you know, he was an actor who was actually on a pretty good show. I think he was on News Radio, which I don't know if you remember it. It had Dave Foley from Second City. It had Phil Hartman. I mean, it had a pretty amazing cast. And then, and Joe Rogan was in it too. I want to say it was Aaron Sorkin, but I'm not sure, so don't quote me on that. But then he went on to then do Fear Factor, which was a ridiculous show where he told people to eat bugs. And now he's all of a sudden Mr. Expert on how, you know, the world should work. I don't understand how people vet the people that they take advice from, that they take, you know, that they take a political explanation from. It's like Donald Trump, a failed businessman who was a fake billionaire on a TV show called The Apprentice, and they believe it.
They do.
Yeah, that's why we're in this predicament.
Yeah, it's funny you should be saying that, because I was just writing something probably for tomorrow that I never really considered voting for Hillary, except at one moment in the campaign when she said Trump voters are deplorables. That one moment I thought, you know what, maybe she's not as bad as I thought. But then I thought about it again and I said, no, she is.
Right. And, you know, but what's the old saying? Even a stop clock is right twice a day. She was right. They are deplorables. Yeah. These people are really, they're shameless, number one. And number two, they have no moral compass. And it's funny because they always claim to be the party of morals, which makes sense because it's all projection with them. It's opposite world. They accuse us of doing what they've been doing all along, lying, cheating, and stealing an election, yet they say that's what they do. It's why my brain hurts all the time, because it's opposite world. So it's frustrating, more than frustrating, because, you know, my natural inclination is to sort of trace things back and see how this all started. And I can't help but say that Obama set the stage for so much of what's happening today. And I know we went through 8 years with a guy who seemed like a nice guy. He was very smart. He's the kind of guy you might want to have a beer with. And there were no major scandals in the White House or the administration. So it seems like we went along just fine. Thank you very much. But the Democratic Party was decimated over those 8 years. There was not a state legislature in the country that became more blue. In fact, we lost state houses. We lost governorships. We lost state assemblies to numbers that I don't think we've seen before during the Obama administration. And I don't know why nobody calls them out for that.
Well, they do. There are people who do.
Okay.
Not enough.
And yet they still don't seem to be doing the right thing. So there's a story floating around. And look, this is not Democrat bashing. This is me saying that the party...
So if you want Democrat bashing, just go to Down with Tyranny.
But this is me saying they need to do better. Look, I'm not. I still believe the Democrats are better than the Republicans, but boy, that gap gets smaller and smaller all the time. So Joe Biden was about to place a name into nomination for a federal lifetime judicial appointment, somebody to appease Mitch McConnell, an anti-choice judge. That Biden was ready to nominate, but to
not just passively anti-choice. By the way, this is a guy who spent his career
as an anti-choice lawyer, arguing anti-choice cases.
Right. And Joe Biden was set to nominate him in a deal that he cut with Mitch McConnell so that Mitch McConnell would let some of Biden's lower level, not lifetime appointment judges go through because he blocks them all like he did when Obama was in office. Another thing that the Democrats don't talk about. Oh, what? I'm sorry?
There's an argument about that.
Okay.
Now, so that what you just said is what came out at first, that that's what the deal was.
Yeah.
For that McConnell wouldn't block any of his judges.
Right.
Well, that turned out not to be true. And as more and more came out, it now seems that what all the deal was for two U.S. attorneys. In other words, McConnell was going to get this really awful judge from Kentucky confirmed for as a lifetime judge. And in return, Biden was going to get two U.S. attorneys.
Oh, my
Unbelievable.
God.
I mean, it's like a worthless deal. Like, it's worse than worthless. It's just horrible.
Wow. So he was ready to nominate this judge to a lifetime.
That day. The day that the decision came down.
Unreal. The decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's the decision we're talking about. So Joe Biden was ready to not, and he knew that it was coming because we all saw the draft of the decision that we hoped would be watered down a little bit, and in fact, it wasn't. So he knew it was coming, and yet he was going to go ahead with this deal anyway. I've seen a number of editorials and articles, opinion pieces about that. How could this administration have been so flat-footed? Was a word that I read somewhere. In response to the overturning Roe, they were not ready with any kind of response, and they had a month's lead time. It's just inconceivable.
It is, you know, I mean, not because it's inconceivable because it's the whole administration. It wouldn't be inconceivable of Joe Biden since Joe Biden spent his career as an anti-choice Democrat.
Well, because he's a Catholic. He's a practicing Catholic, much like Marcy Kaptur in Ohio. My problem with her, she was always a pretty good, I thought, you know, congresswoman, except because she's a Catholic, she brought her beliefs to the job. When you're elected to office, I think it's your job to represent the people who vote for you, not to vote your own religious interests. However, that's where this country is going now with this extreme court saying, well, there's no separation of church and state, and it's okay to bring your personal religious beliefs into the public square.
More than it's okay. I mean, Lauren Boebert, you probably saw what she was, how she's been carrying on, that it's required that you bring your religious beliefs. And she was going on saying that there's no such thing as separation of church and state, and that the government should be subservient to the church, not the other way around.
Oh, my God. And how do they reconcile that with, you know, the First Amendment? They just...
Well, interpret the First Amendment differently than we do, just like they interpret everything in the world differently than we do.
So, Howie, I know, look, you're kind of as cynical as I am right now. Do you see any peaceful way that we get past this moment in American history?
Well, we will get past it. I mean, you know, it's terrible, and we're going to all suffer from it. But, it'll go on. It could get my guess is it'll get worse. And then if you're asking me, will it ever get better again? Yeah, probably. I don't know if it'll get better again in our lifetime.
No.
But it'll get better.
No, maybe not in our lifetimes. I hope in my kid's lifetime, but I'm afraid it's going to get much worse before it gets better. So Dan Marceau in the YouTube chat room just said, expand the court now. So how do we do that when you have a president who says, no, I'm not in favor of that?
And not just the president, but I mean, how do you expand the court now when you have Democrats who are against it? Period. Just period. Absolutely against it.
I don't know. I don't know any of this. That's why I'm not just a little freaked out. I'm a lot freaked out. I think we went over some kind of a speed bump here that knocked the undercarriage of our vehicle out of sync. So everything's broken. Nothing's going to work correctly for a long, long time until it can get fixed. And we can't quite afford the mechanic to fix it, if that makes sense. That's where I feel we are. And it's not a good place to be. So now I'm excited that on Tuesday, Jamie Raskin is going to be the committee member who takes the lead in that next hearing. And I just have to hope that, you know, somebody comes forth that Pat Cipollini or whatever his name is, says something that you know, is cause for an indictment against Trump. Because although that'll just set us off probably a civil war sooner than it would happen otherwise, because his crazy sycophants are going to go nuts.
Right. So my guess is that's what the Justice Department is worried about. I mean, because there's already enough stuff to indict him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not, I mean, you know, we can talk all day about Merrick Garland and what he's doing. Marcy Wheeler believes that he's taking his time and building a case. I'm saying he's running out of time. He better get it going soon. But if you're saying what I think you're saying that he's couching his reaction because he's afraid of how the American people might react to the first American president to be indicted for a crime.
How the Trump fanatics would react.
Yes.
I don't know if I say the American people.
Right.
Most American people think that Trump should be charged.
Yes. Right. You know, here's the thing.
I do think that. I think, you know, I mean, as much as Biden claims that he's not interfering in the process, I don't believe that for one second. I believe that nothing about Trump is going to happen without Biden saying to Garland, okay, let's do it or let's forget it.
Oh.
And my guess is that he's not going to go for it.
Oh, my God, because he's afraid of what it's almost like, you know, the world not confronting Vladimir Putin because they're afraid he's going to use his nukes. So let him keep murdering millions of innocent people and firebombing all of Ukraine. I mean, I there's no good answer, but their inaction is not the answer either.
Right. You know, well, there has to be some answer, because even if the answer is do nothing, which is not an acceptable answer.
No.
But I mean, something, you know, I mean, I don't, it's a good analogy with Ukraine, because we are stuck in a similar situation. You know, nobody wants violence.
I know. Right. But it's almost like blackmail. They're threatening. Ooh, if you do this, you know, we're going to come at you worse. So, okay. So we'll just accept you, you know, murdering millions of people and destroying entire cities that have stood for thousands of years. It's insane. And the other thing about, you know, indicting Trump, they keep saying it's never happened in 258 or whatever, however many years we've been here. It's never happened before. Well, we've never had a president act like this before.
Yeah. But you know, Biden sees himself as an institutionalist. He's not going to change anything. That's just not who he is, unfortunately. I mean, I warned everybody this is what we were getting when they decided that he's going to be the Democratic nominee. And, you know, if anything, I was too mild. I mean, I said he'd be the second worst president ever, and I think he's proven that.
Right. So so now the Democrats are in a tough position because there is an election coming up. The incumbent, who's only served one term, is always, you know, expected they're going to run again. And Joe Biden hasn't disabused us of that notion.
Yet, he's not going to run.
He can't. You know, his...
He's not,
right?
He wouldn't have heard the kind of stuff we're hearing from Newsom and Pritzker.
Right.
If Biden, they wouldn't do it unless they knew Biden wasn't going to run again.
Okay, well, then that's interesting. So, Newsom, I know you're not a fan, but I love that he ran that ad going after Ron DeSantis. Thank you, Governor Newsom. Bring it on. We need you here. We need everybody we can get to come to Florida and take on this fascist. He is a Nazi. I will say it clearly and plainly. If you need any explanation, he is a Nazi fascist, horrible, sorry excuse for a human being. A million times worse than Trump. And so I feel it's
imagine someone being a million times worse than Trump, but I agree with you. He's worse than Trump.
He absolutely is. And unless you're here, look, I've got a whole file that I'm starting up. Every day I open the paper and there's something else he's done. You know, they don't talk about Florida that much, but he pushed through a 15-week abortion ban, and it was challenged. And so a judge put a stay on it, and he somehow got the stay taken away. So it went into effect very quietly. Apparently, it's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, but we know what this extreme court's going to do, and we're screwed. I'm fine. I'm not having any kids. It doesn't affect me personally, but it affects every young woman, every person in this state, and it's just incomprehensible.
Right. And
then he says his next move is going to be what he calls a constitutional carry, which I guess he doesn't even have to do anymore because the extreme court already did it for him.
Yeah. Something that just came through a couple of minutes ago is a new polling in key Senate races, and in all of them, because of the decision, the Dobbs decision, the Democrat has advanced.
Good.
Well,
that's the only thing I can hope for, is that, you know, women are going to stand up and say, you want to take away my choice for what I do with my body? You want to turn me into a handmaid? Sorry, Charlie, that's not how it works. And hopefully this will backfire on them. It should. I don't have that much faith in the American people, because then it goes down to education, and you wonder why they're dumbing down our schools, because a stupid electorate is a Republican electorate. Mm-hmm. Like that, I just made that up.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It's just all, I don't know. It's hard not to just throw up your hands and walk away, but we can't, because everything is at stake now.
Right. I mean, you know, I keep thinking, do I want to go live abroad again? You know, I did that for 7 years. Do I want to, because Nixon was so terrible. Do I want to do it again?
Yeah, I know. And people are doing it. You know, gotta laugh, who has been doing Tuesdays with me for longer than you've been doing Thursdays with me. They just got permanent residency in Canada. It took them 3 years. But she got the ball rolling right after El Gordo got elected. So, you know, she saw it coming. And so now they're up there for a month. They have to spend, I don't know, so much time out of every few years there. But that's no problem. As soon, you know, she's trying to get her kids to be able to move up there too. And then she's going to move. And I just learned from Facebook, because I don't talk to my older sister, but she just got basically her green card from Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then a friend of ours on one of those lists that we're on, as you know, moved to France.
Yes, he did.
He's been living for a while now.
And he's trying to tell everybody that they should, you know, move to Europe, that right now the dollar is strong against the euro, so it's a really good time. Things are cheap there, but it's not cheap to move overseas. And apparently what I'm hearing now is other countries are raising their income requirements and other requirements if you want to, you know, be an expat somewhere else in the world, that they're making it more difficult because so many Americans want to get out of here.
You know, when I left, it was very, very easy. You know, anyone who the Europeans felt was a, potentially a victim of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
They didn't ask any questions.
Wow.
I mean, like I said, I was overseas for 7 years. Four of them, I lived in Amsterdam. And not only did I live in Amsterdam, I worked for the government. I got a government check every week. And nobody ever asked to see my papers or anything like that.
Wow.
I mean, ever in the whole 4 years.
Well, that was a long time ago.
And a movie was made, which was just a little documentary just about me.
just being an American who didn't want to be part of the Vietnam War, and what was I doing in Amsterdam? And that's all it was. That was the whole
really thing. You don't by any chance have a copy of that anywhere, do you?
I don't even know the name of it. I would love to see it.
Wow. Yeah. I would love to see it too. But this shows just how much things have changed. So can we talk about who you had dinner with last night?
No.
Okay. Then I won't. So I got to say, we didn't speak for a couple of weeks because of hearings and stuff. And a lot happened in Illinois over the last couple of weeks, including Marie Newman getting, we did talk about her, that she was targeted by a PAC that is really run by Democrats who are going after progressives. This is not the way to unify a party, is it?
It isn't. And you know what? We should have Marie come on because she has a lot to say that's
Please.
Very, very interesting. And it's more interesting than the obvious kind of stuff. She has she's a very, very smart woman anyway.
Yeah.
And she's got some very unique stuff. And when she and I talked about it before the election, you know, I asked her why this is happening to her. Her answers were pretty shocking. I mean, in a way, they were shocking. I mean, I guess in our bones, we know a lot of it. But the fact that it could happen to someone like her, it was
right.
really horrible.
So for those
I'd like
who don't
to get
know,
her to come on. Can we do that next week?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm
yes.
going to call her.
I'm going to put it in my – well, you let me know if she's confirmed. But Marie Newman is the person who ousted Dan Lipinski in the last cycle, who was a sort of dynastic. His father was a horrible congressman, and then he took the seat and was one of the worst so-called Democrats in Congress.
Not only did he take the seat, his father didn't announce that he was leaving until an hour before the deadline.
Oh.
So all of a sudden, now before the deadline to register, he announces it, and Lipinski is already ready to step into the seat. The younger Lipinski
right.
is ready to step into the seat, and he did.
Wow.
And most of the voters, like literally most, they polled this.
Didn't know.
Thought that they had voted for the older Lipinski. Yeah. They didn't know they were voting for the younger Lipinski.
They have the same name. Boy, talk about scamming people. And I hate to say it because some people think I'm a bashing Democrats. I just hate the old guard. I hate the way they're doing things. And I criticize because I want them to do better. But Nancy Pelosi, and I like Christine Pelosi, but Nancy Pelosi's kind of doing the same thing, isn't she? She wants Christine Pelosi to get her seat from the San Francisco area for Congress.
A lot of people think that, but no one really knows for sure.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I just, you know, Nancy Pelosi, it's sad what happened to her because she was good. She was progressive. And now she is the Democratic Party establishment who went to Texas to campaign for the anti-choice candidate over a progressive who is pro-choice. That's all I need to say. In this day and age, that's a non-starter. There are some people talking about a pledge that if you want to run as a Democrat, you pledge to expand the court, overturn.
Well, whatever is the sticking point. Because it, with a big tent party like the Democrats, there's not much you can get everybody to agree
right.
to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And that's the problem. What do you make? I think a woman's right to choose is in there, and an assault
you
weapons
may think
ban.
That.
Right.
I may think that, but you know, but certainly Cuellar didn't think that.
That's
Democrats
right.
are just also knocked off another progressive, Erica Smith, in favor of a guy who is vehemently anti-choice, who is a member of the state legislature in North Carolina,
wow.
and always voted anti-choice on everything, all of the time, on every single thing. And the Democrats just made sure they're going to be their candidate.
It seemed to me like they had it in for Erica Smith. They just, they did not want her in there. The party, it's like the Florida Democratic Party, I think it works against the rest of us. It works against progressives. It sounds like they're doing that in North Carolina too.
Well, they did. They were afraid of Erica. They already had a taste of her when she was, she rose in the ranks of the state legislature,
yep.
and you know they didn't like that. They didn't like her, you know, holding their feet to the fire. No one likes that.
Yep. Well, you know, we need to get a little ballsier in the Democratic Party leadership. We need to be more progressive and ballsier. Is there? I don't think there's. Is there? I don't think that Tuesday has any primaries next week. We do have a hearing that day. Following week is Maryland, and then the runoff in North Carolina. It slows down for a few weeks, and then it gets busy again in
Maryland
August.
Is a big deal. Remember, we've got Donna Edwards.
Oh, yeah. Donna Edwards. We need to get Donna back in Congress.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Marie Newman right now.
Great.
And ask her if she can do this thing.
Perfect. All right, and I'll talk to you next week. Hopefully Marie Newman will be with us.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Howie Klein.
Bye-bye, Nicole.
Bye. All right. And with that, we're done. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you have a better day than I'm having. All right. I will leave you with the news because, you know, there's always news. I'll see you tomorrow.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It is clearly now the will of the Parliamentary Conservative Party that there should be a new leader of that party and therefore a new Prime Minister. And I've agreed with Sir Graham Brady, the chairman of our backbench MPs, that the process of choosing that new leader should begin now. And the timetable will be announced next week. And I've today appointed a cabinet to serve, as I will, until a new leader is in place.
Oh, if that were only so easy over here. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson today resigned as leader of the Conservative Party and Prime Minister. But he said he'll stay in office until a successor is named.
And to that new leader, I say, whoever he or she may be, I say I will give you as much support as I can. And to you, the British public, I know that there will be many people who are relieved and perhaps quite a few who will also be disappointed. And I want you to know how sad I am to be giving up the best job in the world. But them's the breaks.
Critics say he shouldn't be allowed to remain even as caretaker prime minister. Johnson had resisted calls to step down over his handling of the party's latest sex and bullying scandal, saying during a questioning session in parliament that a leader who, quote, has been handed a colossal mandate must keep going. But his final decision came after a crazy 48 hours that began when two high-ranking cabinet members resigned, and now some 50 senior lawmakers have also quit, leading to today's announcement. Stay tuned, because more shoes are going to drop. Here at home, it's all about the guns, isn't it? The alleged shooter who fired on a crowd at a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, has now confessed to the crime, and he told investigators he had seriously considered another attack in Madison, Wisconsin. So the 21-year-old admitted shooter said in a voluntary statement that he, quote, looked down his sights, aimed, and opened fire. He said he emptied two 30-round magazines, then reloaded and resumed firing. Five people died at the scene. Two others died from their wounds in hospitals. 39 people in all were hospitalized. The shooter faces 7 first-degree murder charges. A judge ordered him held without bail. A new report about the massacre at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, was released yesterday by the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training Center, and its findings are tragic. We now know that a Uvalde, Texas police officer had the gunman in his rifle sight, and he asked for permission to fire before the killer entered the school. But his supervisor either didn't hear or didn't respond in time for the cop to take the shot. The gunman, we now know, went on to murder 19 children and 2 teachers in adjoining classrooms before officers finally entered more than an hour later and fatally shot him. In a second missed opportunity we learned about from this report, a school district officer drove into the school parking lot but didn't realize the shooter was there. A tragic series of events that never should have happened. So, the House Oversight Committee has now invited the chief executives of 3 major gun manufacturers to appear at a hearing later this month as the Democrats ramp up an investigation into the industry. Republicans remove all gun protection regulation, while the mass shootings committed with assault rifles are happening now on an almost daily basis. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol by a mob of Trump supporters has announced its next public hearing. It'll be Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern. In the meantime, tomorrow, Friday, the former guy's former White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, will sit for a closed-door deposition. The panel subpoenaed Cipollone last week, saying he was an important witness during key points in Trump's effort to overturn his election loss to President Biden. Cipollone was present for discussions of seizing voting machines. He was in the West Wing during the January 6th attack on the Capitol, so he could have information on Trump's reactions. Cipollone's allies have said he might limit his cooperation due to concerns about executive and attorney-client privilege. In the meantime, Trump's other legal troubles are closing in. A New York judge has held real estate firm Cushman & Wakefield in contempt of court for their refusal to cooperate with the New York Attorney General's investigation into the Trump Organization. Judge Arthur Engoron imposed a $10,000 daily fine on Cushman & Wakefield that will start today and will be applied every day the company fails to comply with subpoenas for information related to its appraisals and brokerage services for Trump's company. And it's not only the Trump Organization, but many of the former guy's friends feeling the heat now, too. Lawyers for Senator Lindsey Graham said Wednesday that they will challenge a Georgia grand jury subpoena calling for him to testify in their investigation into possible 2020 election interference by then President Trump and his associates. Graham is one of several allies of the former guy who received subpoenas on Tuesday from that special Georgia grand jury. Obviously, looking into Graham's phone calls, at least two of them, to Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, whom Trump had asked to find votes to overturn his loss there. And finally, at a time when we could really use some good news, President Biden today holding a ceremony at the White House to award the Presidential Medal of Freedom, that's the nation's highest civilian honor, to 17 icons of politics, sports, entertainment, business, civil rights, and the military.
And Alan
Among
Simpson.
Those being honored,
huh?
Athletes Simone Biles and Megan Rapinoe, actor Denzel Washington, former Congresswoman and gun control advocate Gabby Giffords, the late Senator John McCain, and the late Apple co-founder Steve Jobs. Got to erase the taint from the former guy cheapening them, giving them to Rush Limbaugh, Jim Jordan, and Devin Nunes? Oy. I got the And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.